This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon, the first live Inside Douglas County program of 2024. And we're going to talk about resolutions about fitness and health and trying to make some healthy changes. Juliet Plenchas in here from Thrive Umpqua. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle. I'm honored to be on the first podcast of 2024.
Yeah, you know, this time of year, many people get excited about making changes. And in most cases, that lasts until about the 20th of January. And then they have some success and then some failure and then they just bag it. So our idea here is to give ideas for folks to be successful in making some healthy changes for the new year. So what kind of course do you put yourself on to achieve that?
Yeah, I saw evidence of this when I went to the gym last night. It was a lot more packed and I was really happy to see that. And, you know, just kind of was rooting everyone on, you know, to myself thinking, wouldn't it be cool if it stayed that way? Because it's really inspiring to see folks, you know, taking care of their health. I'm always excited and inspired when I hear about people making positive changes around their well-being and just knowing what a great impact that can have on individuals and then the community and, you know, more broadly. So, yeah, very excited about people using this as an opportunity to build momentum and to try to incorporate some positive, healthy practices. So I think that's a good thing, right? For folks not to get totally discouraged and for them to kind of ride that new year, new momentum. But like you said, how can we kind of increase the longevity of those commitments? And I think there's some pretty proven ways to do that. Oftentimes folks pick very vague and very ambitious resolutions for themselves. So something like, you know, I'm going to eat healthier, or I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to, you know, I did this a couple years ago. I said, I'm going to run a 5K every week, you know, so maybe things that are either too vague or too ambitious. And so there's some good evidence out there that shows that if you make your resolutions more SMART, so SMART is the acronym for a fun way to remember how to make those resolutions more successful. So those that stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. So folks can remember to do that. So instead of saying, I'm going to eat healthier, you might say something like, I'm going to eat a cup and a half of beans every day, you know, for a week or for the next month. And so that is specific, right? You're saying exactly what you're going to do instead of just eating healthier. It's measurable. You're saying a cup and a half. It's attainable. I think maybe for most people it's affordable, it's accessible, you know, not too ambitious, just a cup and a half a day. It's so realistic in that way as well. And it's time bound because you're saying it's going to be once a day and it's going to be for X number of days. So either a week or a month or something like that. So that's an example of how to get kind of really down to it. And I think having accountability for that is also something that is proven to support folks in their longevity of their resolution. So finding a friend to do it with you or taking part in a community challenge, which we'll talk about later, is another great way to do that. Because then you're capitalizing on momentum just beyond your individual momentum, which we know eventually that will be challenged and often feels like a failure. So we want to just encourage people that they're kind of a part of something bigger, that it's a fun thing, that they have accountability in a fun way, in a light way. But also, of course, then starting to feel the benefits of it is one of the best motivators, right? You actually start to feel better.
And one of the things about this, you know, you talk about the diet idea and eating certain things. It seems to be that more success is achieved when you not, you know, it's not just take away everything, you know, but adding something healthy in, not just saying I'm not going to eat that, and that.
Right.
But actually having a place to turn So when those, you know, that hunger hits or whatever, you go the right direction.
Yeah. A lot of people get overwhelmed when they start to think about, you know, all of the unhealthy foods that they're eating and removing those. And it's a really challenging approach when you think about all the foods that you already know and love that are health promoting and just adding more of those into your diet. I think that's a really great approach. So I just talked about adding more beans. Maybe you can say, okay, I'm going to eat a handful of nuts a day as well, or I'm going to try to incorporate more greens into my diet. So you're kind of sticking with what you know, but then just adding to it. I think that's a great approach. There's something called Dr. Greger's Daily Dozen, which is an app where he talks about, based on research that's been conducted around the globe related to nutrition, the things that you should be eating every day. And if you get through all those things and you want to eat a bunch of other stuff too, great, go for it. But these are things that you can eat every day that will that have been proven to improve your health. So things like a cup and a half of beans and 2 tablespoons of flax and, you know, X number of fruits and vegetables, that kind of stuff. And so it's kind of a gamified thing where you can check that off throughout the day. And I think, like you said, Kyle, knowing what to add versus what to take away. There's no mention anywhere on that app of what you should not be eating. It's only about what you should be eating. So it's kind of a positive approach. So that's Dr. Greger's Daily Dozen, an app that you can get for free on your phone. So I highly recommend that one for folks that are interested in that one part of the many ways we can do things to improve our health, right? There's all of the longevity principles across the board, not just healthy food or dietary related.
Yeah, explain more about those principles. Blue Zones was introduced to the community in 2017 based on National Geographic research. Kind of unpack a little bit of that.
Yeah, so there's these places around the world where people are living the longest, healthiest lives. And they have the highest concentration of centenarians. And fortunately, what they found across these longevity hotspots, also known as Blue Zones, that they're doing a lot of the same well-being practices, that their environments are similarly oriented to support and cultivate well-being, to nudge folks toward healthy behaviors. And because of that, there's a cross-cultural distillation of those well-being best practices. We call them the longevity principles, and they're things that any individual anywhere around the world can explore and adopt and lean into. And I imagine listeners are doing well in some areas, but could be exploring and leaning in more to other areas. So there's a lot of them are very intuitive, things like adding more movement. So lots of ways we can do this, right? We have been expert about engineering movement out of our day with modern conveniences. So the challenge is now how to incorporate those back into your day. So moving more, there's plant slanting. So again, like Kyle said, positive, how can we add more plants to our plate? The centenarians in those Blue Zones longevity hotspots are about 95% plant-based. So we're not talking about being vegan or vegetarian, but just how can you add more plants to your plate? Then there's cultivating a positive outlook. So mindfulness and positivity and gratitude, those are things that you can practice on a regular basis. Knowing your purpose, so how your gifts, your values, your passions align to form your unique purpose and how you're waking up each day to live life on purpose. Let's see, what am I missing here? So then there's connection is so important, right? Finding the people in your life that are supporting you and making healthy decisions, putting loved ones first, so critical. We know that if you participate in your faith, that increases well-being. It doesn't matter what your faith is, but it can add up to 7 years of your life. How important volunteerism is, because you're connecting with other people. We're just talking with Kyle about his volunteerism that he's participating in. It's so great to be able to give back and alongside other people that are also contributing to the community. And then I know I'm missing one and it's going to come back to me. So I'll talk about that sixth longevity principle when it does. But the point is that there is a broad array of ways that folks can practice well-being in their lives. And if you're feeling like, hey, I'm not so good at moving more, but maybe I can plant slat a little bit more, or maybe I can explore my purpose a little bit more. There's all of those things will contribute to your longevity.
All right, going to take a break. More when we come back to interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Stephen Stanfield from the YMCA of Douglas County on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Juliet Planchas here today from Thrive Umpqua talking about getting healthy and making some changes for the new year. Do you feel like one of the differences in Blue Zones and what Thrive Umpqua is about is that it's really more encompassing, maybe more holistic? That word sometimes is overused, but it's not just one thing, but it's a lot of different areas where you make changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And even beyond that, so like I was mentioning those longevity principles, that there's really every kind of way that you can engage with your well-being. But beyond that, it's not just about individuals being inspired to improve their well-being. It's also making the healthy choice the easy choice in the environments where we spend the most time. So our work sites, our restaurants, our grocery stores, our schools, our faith-based organizations, the places where we volunteer, outside in the parks and on the sidewalks, right? If we don't make it attractive, affordable, accessible, easy, convenient to make healthy choices, then it relies on willpower. And we know that willpower only lasts for so long. Once it's challenged, you know, it really shouldn't be all on the individual. So that's one thing that I really love about the Blue Zones project model and the way that Thrive Umpqua works in the community is actually working to make the healthy choice the easy choice and provide environments where people are able to and even nudge toward making healthy choices.
Now, when you look at Thrive Umpqua since 2017, talk about some of the outcomes that you've seen, some of the changes that you've seen made around the community.
Yeah, so it's really transformative work. It's really comprehensive. I mentioned that we work across sectors and we work with individuals. We've had over 10,000 local residents participate in programs and activities to improve their well-being. We've had 2,374 volunteers. I mentioned earlier how impactful volunteering is when folks work together to give back to the community. And those also often intersect with those longevity principles where they're out moving more, they're connecting. We've had 23 policy initiatives completed at the local level across built environment, food systems, and tobacco. Most people know what food systems and tobacco are. Built environment, if that's not familiar to you, is just making it safe and inviting to move about and spend time outdoors for all. Make sure it's accessible to all. We've had 105 organizations participate in making healthier organizations for our community, 40 local work sites participating, 10 schools, 6 grocery stores, 21 restaurants, and all this along with community members and leaders, neighbors, faith and civic organizations are coming together around this goal of improving the well-being of people living in the Umpqua Valley. And I think that's extremely powerful that we have this shared objective that we're working toward as our community's well-being initiative.
And now, while it took place quite a ways back, periodically I get the question, how did we get from Blue Zones to this being called Thrive Umpqua?
Yeah, so Blue Zones Project is a national model, and we were, I'd say, kind of like in the middle in terms of the life path of that community impact model, and we're applied to be a demonstration community to demonstrate how these principles found in these longevity hotspots could be applied in a community like ours, where we certainly can see well-being improvement, but we also have the desire and the interest in improving the well-being of our community. So how to apply those principles here through that model? And that model is meant to share well-being best practices across sectors and to have a staff that's dedicated to implement these programs and activities and best practices and policy changes over the course of a couple of years. And then we have the opportunity to apply to become a certified Blue Zones community. And so we did, and we were successful. And when we had a team of national experts come and do a review of our community, and this is right around the pandemic time, and fortunately we were able to show enough positive outcomes. We had measured all of the work that we had done and received that certification, which was a huge honor for our community and something that we can really feel pride around. It's not something that every community achieves, especially within the time span that we were able to achieve it, which is just 3.5 years here in the Umpqua Valley. And so beyond that, then communities have the opportunity to kind of localize and really tailor the work to the local community and take all of the benefit of that national model and kind of make it a locally run organization, which is what it is now under the name Thrive Umpqua. So really continuing that work. Obviously, there's so much more to do, but we've also come a long way and we can feel really proud of that as a community.
You have a lot of different things coming up, probably too numerous to mention all of them, but talk about some highlights of things in the near future people ought to be aware of.
Yeah, there's always so much. And I think one thing that we developed last year that we're really proud of is the Community Well-Being Challenge, which is an opportunity for us to bring well-being activities and programs from around the community with our partners and other organizations in the community together under kind of one roof, so to speak. So it's under our website, thriveumpqua.com. Our 2023 Community Wellbeing Challenge is wrapped up. We had 1,056 participants, and we'll be announcing the grand prize package winners next week. So our 2024 Wellbeing Challenge is open for registration right now, and we have events already on the calendar. Our kickoff event is February 6th at 6:30 at Jacoby Auditorium, and that is with Dr. Michael Greger. So I've got to share about that one because he is an international speaker, lifestyle medicine expert, epidemiologist, founder of nutritionfacts.org, and the author of several New York Times bestselling books, including How Not to Die. So he'll be here in person at UCC Jacoby Auditorium on Tuesday, February 6th at 6:30, and he'll be presenting on the topics of his new book, How Not to Age, and it's really kind of aligned with the Blue Zone's principles.
I like the idea, how not to age.
Right, we're all trying to figure that out. Clinging to it.
By the way, he'll be on Inside Douglas County that day.
Yes, I heard about that. That is pretty fancy of us. I'm very excited about that. So that's going to kick off the Wellbeing Challenge. And again, folks can find out more about that Wellbeing Challenge and register for free now at thriveumqua.com. And just look for the Wellbeing Challenge on there. And there are tons of programs and activities that we are collecting for the course of the year. And there's prizes throughout the year. And it's, as you're talking about in terms of the longevity of New Year's resolutions, this is a great way to ensure that you'll have continual nudges toward well-being across those longevity principles, moving more, connecting, living on purpose, plant slanting, positive outlook, and the one I forgot, unwind, finding times to relax in a healthy way throughout your day. A few other upcoming events that we have that I'd love to mention are MLK Day of Service on January 15th, our Walk with a Doc, which is ongoing every month. We have a Trails Day cleanup on Saturday, January 20th. We'll be participating in the Family Wellness Wonderland on January 21st. We'll be starting our Wellness Wednesdays, downtown walking and free yoga again soon. And then just one thing that I love to always share is to watch that Blue Zone series, Live to 100 on Netflix. It's a very positive and insightful look into the lives of people around the world that are living the longest, with National Geographic fellow Dan Buettner, kind of the one that went around to those longevity hotspots and found all these really beautiful well-being best practices in these indigenous populations and packaged them into this community impact model.
So if people want to learn more as we wrap up here, how do they get connected with Thrive Umpqua?
I think the best way at this time is either to get on our mailing list, and we won't bombard you. We send about one email out a month, so you can do that by sending us an email at connect@thriveumqua.com or get onto our website, thriveumqua.com, or stop by our office, 556 Southeast Jackson Street. If you're a Facebook or Instagram user, we're active on both of those platforms at Thrive Umpqua. That's a great way to find out about what's coming up and just connect with us. But I think our email list is probably the best way to be informed on everything going on. And as we build out our website, that will also become a really great place to learn more about the organization.
Juliet Planchas, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
12:57.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.